Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
Do you feel as good as you look? You guys look great. I'm excited to see you. I'm not just excited because the fast is ending, although that's always fun at the end. Not just because you can eat, but because you can look back at what God's done over the 21 days. And I'm sure if you're like me, you've seen change in your life. You've seen God answer some prayers. He's done some things. We'll admit, when Carrie was sharing that scripture about cutting away, my mind drifted off to steak and like what. So I had to focus, right? Anyone like that? Was it just me? Like, man, that is not spiritual at all, Pastor Chris. I'm sorry, but it's our heart to cutting away. I was thinking like cutting a steak or cutting a big juicy burger in half. If you're fasting, I may be messing you up right now. Like, what? How long is this? I have 45 minutes, so I'll be done before that so we can finish up service. But if this is your first time here, my name is Pastor Chris, and I want to welcome you personally to IC Maidan, and thank you for joining us today. Man, the time of fasting has just been awesome. Joking around, but at the end of this last week on Wednesday, I really felt like God was telling me to step it up a notch. Carrie and I had been fasting, you know, it's already coming into the last week. I felt like God wanted me to finish it just liquids only. So the last 3.5 days, I've just been drinking water and juice and things like that. And the awesome thing was that I really found that God really is our strength. Not just, I mean, in every way, we say that, but even spiritually, emotionally, physically, you know, I feel good. I feel excited. I feel energetic. I mean, God has been there through the whole time, and I'm sure he's been there with you. The prayer times have been amazing, and I hope for you, just like I promised, this has been a refreshing time, because I that's what this series is. Today, if this is your time with us, we are ending a series called Fresh Air, and all of this is about being refreshed and being revived for 2018, to go ahead and set ourselves up for success, to prepare ourselves the best year we've ever had. The last couple of weeks, we talked about cleaning out. We talked about the verse, putting off the old and putting on the new. Taking off things that shouldn't be a part of our life anymore. Cleaning out junk drawers and gudangs and the lamar. Getting rid of junk that is just slowing us down in life. The scripture that we've used sort of as a focus or an idea behind the breath of fresh air is in 2 Timothy chapter 16. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll remember this. He's writing about this guy that was a reviving breath of fresh air to Paul, prison. He said, "May the Lord bless Onesiphorus and all his family, because he visited me and encouraged me often. His visits revive me like a breath of fresh air." So I hope this has been like this for you, the fasting, the prayer. We start every year like this. And then we shift. Right now we're in a transition time where the special prayer times here are ending, but then we shift into life group season. How many of you have been in one of the life groups? All right, I see some hands. My goal today is more of you will be in life groups this next time. Just let me tell you ahead of time, that's part of where I'm going. So I'm going to talk about how much we need each other. As we shift, life groups start the week of February 5th. Yesterday, we had a life group leaders training. I'm excited about the leaders we have. I'm so excited. Confetti was falling from this is leftover from the Christmas Eve concert. But it's like confetti. What do you call that? Ducting, air duct. But anyway, I even have a slide. Life is better with life group. Make your life better. That is the guarantee, I promise you. Go to life group this semester. If you come to me afterwards, you're like, "I went to life group, my life's not better." I'll give you another IC Maidan mug or something. So I will get, seriously, come to me. My life's not better. I was there for 12 weeks. It's actually, I'll take you to coffee or something. But I really believe It will make your life better. Parents need other parents around us. We learn from each other. We encourage and help each other. Married people, you need other married people around you and learn and better each other and help each other become the best you can be. Single people, you need other single people around you, especially if you want to be married people, right? No, that's just a little. The love of your life at Life Group. Is that a good plug for all the singles? If I was looking for someone to marry, I would look in Life Groups. That's what, if some single guy in here, go to Life Group. If you see a young girl in there, she's single, she's of God, she's not just in church on Sunday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, she's like, I want more. That's the girl for you. Find that girl, move over, sit close to her, like, hey, I'm here searching for more of God too. So, and gonna find. Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day up. You know, this has to do with church, of course, but it's more than that. It's meeting outside of church. You know, Paul, during this time, what he was probably meaning was because of the persecution affecting the church, maybe people were afraid to gather together, people were hiding out, they had trouble, and there was fear, and maybe just wanted to hide out. For us, the way this relates is every single one of us face things and not be facing persecution like the early church. But we have struggles, and we have troubles, and we have problems, and sometimes we let those things keep us away from church. I remember in our first small group launched into this church, every once in a while someone wouldn't show up. And it's because that week they had failed, and they felt like they just want to go and be alone. We tend to have that tendency when things aren't going good. Instead of gathering together, we want to hide. We can't get better that way. I would tell them, no. I mean, sometimes they'd say, I don't feel like I'm worthy to be at the group. I failed this week. I'm like, man, when you are struggling, that's when you need us more. You need to put around you. This is talking about what Paul's talking about is church. He's talking about small groups. He's talking about being together with people with similar hearts, similar values, similar purpose and direction all throughout the week. One day a week is not enough for you. 1 hour a week is not going to get you where you need to be. Now, why was he saying this? Because he said, the nearer we get to the end of time, the harder it is. You know, we would like to pray for world peace, and we hope everything gets better, but that's not the picture that the Bible paints for us. It's going to get harder. Paul even told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through, he says, you may as well know this, Timothy, that in the last days, it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, laughing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and laugh at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. They will go to church, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that. He was warning, hey, you need the right people around you because it's going to get harder. You're going to face things, and if you want to remain faithful, remain on the right path, if you want to reach the goal that you set out to reach, you're going to need people beside you, running with you. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes about an example that he referred to as in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, he said, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother, meaning he had no one to care for and no one to care for him. There was no end to his trouble, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Solomon said this was meaningless. He said this was depressing. The man walked alone. He was trying to make it on his own. Hard work, all of the trouble that he went through, everything, he saw it as meaningless. Even all of the wealth, all of the things that he accumulated, he wasn't satisfied. He's trying to make it alone. So knowing we need each other, why do some people, as Paul said, give up on meeting together? I don't mean at church, because that would be ridiculous, because here you are, right? But I mean outside of it, why do we sometimes just want to go in to church in the crowd, we're sort of anonymous, and leave and not have people we're close to? I can relate, because I'm sort of, I'm not very outgoing. I have to push myself. So why do we have this habit maybe of not meeting? Here's some reasons or excuses why we walk alone. Number one, I didn't know better. Maybe it's just simply, man, I toil and I have to struggle and I work hard and still I'm not satisfied and life is meaningless. I didn't know that surrounding myself with a group of people I can be close with would make a difference. Maybe it's simply that. Maybe it's number two, like I am, I'm not outgoing. Maybe you feel like that. You know, I don't get together more closely or intimately with people because I'm just not outgoing. I'm afraid I'll be asked to share something. I'm more of a loner. Some of the guys in here may be like, I'm a lone wolf. Oh, woo. I don't need nobody. You know, singing like Sinatra, I did it my way. You know, this idea of, you know, I'm not outgoing at all. Maybe it's a struggle to be around people. Honestly, for me, I've had to push myself over the years because I'm more of an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. But I've learned I'm better with people. People make me better. I know that. So I try to push myself. We have to, if we are not outgoing people, we have to get rid of that insecurity. We have to try to, because you need people and they need you. The third one, and I think this is a big one that keeps people even out of life group or small things or small groups, I'm afraid. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen. When I go to life group, okay, I'll have the courage to sign up. What happens when I get to that house and go behind the door? You know, even at church, any of you, the first time you go to church, you probably had that experience intimidating. We think about that constantly here. To make that decision for the first time to walk down this tile sidewalk into this door, there's a little bit of that feeling of like, what's going to be in there? What's going to go happen? You know, there's a little bit of intimidation or fear. That's why we try to make it as comfortable and, you know, what would be the word for that? Unscary? Is that a word? Not scary. Right? We have coffee. We have our friendliest people in the lobby. Anyone on the team that's not friendly, we keep them in the back. They're working in the gudang right now. The team members that don't smile, they're behind. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have anyone. But we want it to be, man, it's scary enough. What's going to be there? Get in. Oh, here's some coffee. Wow, that's great. That helps. You know, what about life group? Once you've made that step, I want to get together with a smaller group. What like? Am I going to get there? And the worst fear is you knock on the door, they open up, you go into the living room, and just like you thought, there's candles lit everywhere. There's a circle of chairs. Everyone's sitting in. One for you. What's going to happen to me? That's scary. We do that on the second week, not the first week. No, I'm just kidding. We don't do that at all. Maybe someone force you to share your feelings. We don't do that. No one's going to pray. You have to get comfortable. You can just show up. Hey, I'm just going to sit and observe. I had one of my fears come true in the first small group I ever went to. I was a new Christian. Carrie and I were married, but we were still teenagers, so I got invited to the youth small group. I went. I was scared to death. I didn't know anything about anything. I barely knew anything about church, barely knew anything about Christianity. I didn't know that we're going to be at that house. I show up. I'd knock on the door. They open it. They have a pile of shoes, so I took my shoes off and went and sat on the floor with all the other people. And here was my worst fear. I was asked to share my testimony. And it wasn't just, would anyone like to share a testimony? People like me know exactly what to do at that moment. You keep your head down, right? Would anyone like to share? You keep your head down. You don't look around. Everyone else starts speaking, and then you lift your head and start nodding. Yes. Amen. Amen. We know that. If you're in a small group and someone's like, would anyone like to pray? Watch the people that have my personality. They're all like this. Like, I already started. So it wasn't something I could get out of. He said, Chris is a new Christian. Would you share a testimony? I said, oh my gosh. My palms were sweating. I went around the room for the exits. They were too far away. And I remembered my shoes are off. That's why they did that. There's no quick escape when you don't have your shoes on. So I had to share, and I even put this on the screen. Don't share this as an Instagram thing or anything. This is my word-for-word testimony. I said, things are good, then they get bad, but then they get good again. That is the testimony you've ever heard in your life. That is the most embarrassing thing. I'm sitting there with like 20 people. Chris is a new Christian. His life has changed. Tell everyone about it. Hi, I'm Chris. Speak louder. Hi. Things are good. Then they're bad. Then they're like good again. They're all looking at me waiting for something deep, and that was all I had. The end. Can I get my shoes and leave now? I mean, that was... So if anyone is afraid of meeting with smaller groups... You have no excuse, because I have been on the front lines of bad, scary, small group situations. Our life group leaders, the fourth one is this that keeps us out. Sometimes I have been hurt in the past. Often we let past hurts keep us from relationships in the present and the future. Bad relationships in the past or something bad keep you from experience good things today and good things tomorrow. Like, man, people have hurt me before. I don't want to get in a small group. We put a wall up. The bad thing about that and the unhealthy thing is it's, hey, bad people out. I understand. I've been there. I don't get hurt anymore. But you're also keeping the good people out. You're keeping out the people that you need to have in your life. And you're not being a part of their life. You know, I was thinking about this. When he came to the earth and he had purpose and he had a mission and he had something he was going to do, somewhere he was going, the first thing he did was gather 12 people around him that could help him get there. These guys, okay, come on, we're going together. And if Jesus set that example for us, we're going to make it in this journey on our own. Jesus needed 12 people. I mean, at least we could have two or three people around us. We all know he was all God and all man. He could have done it all alone. But the example he set for us is, hey, people around you that will help you reach your goal. You need people. What you do when you get good people around you is you get healed and you have good relationships back in your life. The fifth reason or excuse sometimes is one of the most dangerous ones. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I mean, we talked about this last week. Cleaning out the clutter in our schedules. Sometimes we say something and we neglect the important things. Man, my schedule's just too busy. With what? Sometimes if we look at our schedule, we realize some of this doesn't mean anything. Some of it's important. Some of it we have. Yes, it was, you know, I'm just filling it in. I'm too busy. We give up meeting and it becomes a habit, as Paul said. The first life group Carrie and I were in, before even life group, I think was a phrase, was small group. It was the young married small group. And man, we were courageous to even go there because we were the young marrieds. Any of you that know our story, we were teenagers. So when we went, even the young marrieds looked like old people, you know. What? They're 25. I hope we live that long. You know, I mean, we were teenagers, you know. And we're in this group. But it changed our life. I still have some of my closest friends are from that small group over 20 years. I have a photo of some of us. We were at a young marrieds conference, and there it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Do we have that photo? Okay, there it is. And these are people I am still in communication with today. This is over 20 years ago. Can you guys find me and Carrie? Looks like a gunfighter. Look at those eyes. And this is me here. I got the rifle. I got a pistol. I actually wore my own boots. This ago that it was the Wild West. This was at a place where you could dress up like different things for your photo. This couple here, Carrie and I met with when we went back home recently. In September when I was home, I had breakfast with this guy. We met in small group 20-something years ago. This is the man, David Dale, that led me to Jesus. He and his wife, Kim, discipled us. This is what happens when we have small groups. These guys, yes, church was amazing. I got God's word. I worshiped. There were a lot of great things about it. But these four people, this small group, this changed my life. A lot of the biblical principles that I live by today, I first learned in that small group. We showed up with so many problems. We were married teenagers with kids, and there was no judgment. There was no one looking down at us. They welcomed us. They encouraged us to be better. We learned so much. I don't know. This is something else that will age me. I don't know if any of you know the TV show Cheers from the 80s. When me and Isaiah went to Boston a few years ago, went to Cheers, not to get a drink or anything. We just wanted to see the place. And it was so cool. We went in. They had a little setup of what the TV show looked like. But I was thinking with church and with small group and with life, if you've heard the theme song, let me read this to you. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. I mean, when you hear this, you can agree with it. Man, it takes everything to make it in the world today. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. I mean, this should be the life group theme song. This is what church should be like. Everybody knows your name. They're glad you came. You go and you find out, hey, I'm not struggling with this alone. Our troubles are all the same. It's too bad the TV show was about a bar. Because this is what people should feel about you. Man, everyone's always glad that I came. I'm glad to go. We help each other. We encourage each other. Romans 12, verse 5 says, since we are all one body in Christ, to each other, and each of us needs all the other. Could you turn to your neighbor and say, you need me? Turn to your other neighbor and say, you really need me. We need each other. The Bible tells us we need each other. We're going somewhere. We need people on the journey with us. The DISC test that we do in Growth Track, it's a personality test. We just do a small version of it to find what type of personality we have so we can help find our purpose, maybe see some areas we're interested in. One of my favorite things about the DISC test is it even shows some of the Bible like. I love that. When I took the test, I was so excited. I wanted to see, like, you're like Elisha or Elijah or Paul. I mean, as a guy, like Daniel. When it's someone tough, it said I was like Miriam, Moses' sister. I know what that means. If you've taken that test, I don't know what showed up for you. I was, Miriam? What about Moses? I'm like Moses' sister. So, anyway. But the DISC test also out the different parts of us, the different parts of our lives, of our personality. The first one it talks about is the arena. And what that basically means is the public me, or the public you. So I changed the names, but I'm using these ideas that the DISC test talks about to show you the different parts that we have in our life. There is the public me, every one of us. There's the public you. That is the you that you know and I don't know. Or saying it like this, the public me, I know and you know. Sorry, I know and you know. The public. We all know this. This is public. About me, those things that you would know. The public me. You have people in your life that know things about you. What they know is the public you. The statement I put here is, I need people who really know me. public part, there's the outside part of us, the public me, but we need people that know more than that, because we all know there's something more below the surface. There's the you that you want people to see, and you know someone before you take off the mask and show them the private me. You know, the version in the test calls this the mask, but I'm referring to it as the private me, behind the mask. I know, but you don't know. That's the private me. I know, but you don't know. I know, but most people don't know. The private me. Many people wear masks. Maybe even going Sundays, we might tend to put a mask on because we want to go and we want to show people in the lobby, hey, how are you doing? Blessed and anointed, brother. Lou Arbiasa. But if we took the mask off and I'm hurt, I'm struggling with something, I feel lonely, there's something beneath the mask that we're afraid to show people. And let me put that on and get to church. I'm blessed, man. We leave and there's no what's going on so they can help you. The man behind the mask, the private me. Some of you may feel like that, your struggles, your pain, your sins. There's people that you need to put in your life to be close enough that you can take them and say, hey, here's what I'm going through. Man, I love God. I've been following Jesus for years, but I can't shake this sin. Someone that will say, hey, I'll pray with you. Hey, give me a call next time you're struggling. Let's talk each week. Let's be accountable to each other. Some pain that you're experiencing and you're trying to be tough and just get through it alone. You need someone to walk through it with you. You're not safe if no one knows. None of safe on our own. If there's something you're struggling with, it's going to be hard to overcome it. If you don't have a couple of good guys around you, for the guys or for the girls, a couple of good girls around you that you could say, hey, I really need you. Because I'm somewhere in my life, I'm on this journey, and I need help. The statement here is, I need people who will protect me. The public me, I need people who will really know me. The private me, I need people who will protect me and take the mask off and get free once and for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. That's how you can get free. That's how you can find healing. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. To the fear category of life group. If you're sitting in life group and the leader says, okay, everyone turn to your neighbor and confess your sins. That's how many of you, that would be terrifying. I don't even know this person's name yet. No, just because it's okay, the Bible says so. That's, even in here, we don't have times like, okay, can we go around the room and confess your sins? But you need a group of people that you can talk about those things with. You need it. This says to your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. There's healing and openness. Any of you that have ever carried something or you had a secret or there was some struggle or something going on in your life, carrying it alone and it was heavy and you felt like, I don't know how I can go on much longer. And you had that friend that you could say, hey, I need to talk to you. And you open it up. You had that breath of fresh air. Talking about if you've experienced that, suddenly a weight's lifted, a burden's gone. Whew, that thing still happened. The struggle may still be there, but because you were open, there was some freeing and healing. I don't have own anymore. The Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens. Man, I shared this with Gary. Now he's helping carry it with me. It's not so heavy. If I add Melvin in, now there's three of us. I got this thing I'm dealing with. There has lifted. I can keep going. I can make it. It's not so heavy anymore. Jesus forgives our sins, but sharing with one another is what brings healing. Getting that out. Man, I need people. What we realize in small groups when we're sharing these things is that we're all just sinners saved by grace. We're always afraid, man, if I share, I'm the only one in the room that's ever sinned. You start sharing and people are like, no, I struggle with that too. You think that's bad. I've done this. You know, it goes around like, man, we're all only saved by the grace of God. We're all on this journey. We're all getting stronger, and together we can make them stronger, carrying the burdens together. The third me, the perceptually challenged me. I couldn't find a good P word for that, so the perceptually challenged me. Perceptually, this is talking about blind spots in our life. There's blind spots. If you're in a car and you're looking out the mirror and checking things, there's sometimes things behind you or beside you that you can't see. Blind spots. I can't see it. Perceptually comes from the word perception, and basically that is what your senses tell you. What do you see about you? What do you feel? What do you situation? What do you hear? All of us are challenged to a certain extent perceptually. Perceptually challenged would mean I don't know, but you know. I may not see it, but someone in here might see blind spots in our life. I remember several years back, I was backing the car up, and I look in this mirror, I look in that mirror. But what I couldn't see was there was a tree right behind me. Backed right into it. Anyone do that? Gosh, smashed the car. Ever since then, I ask, if someone's in the car with me, I'll ask Carrie, hey, is it clear? Like, I check everything, but I ask someone else to check my blind spots because she may, I don't. If the kids are in there, I'll even ask Gabriel. Gabriel, is it clear? Yeah, Dad, and then I can go. I was in City Kalong once with some pastor friends, and I was driving and needed to back up. And I asked one of the clear. He said, Thruspak, Bloom Kana. It's like, what? I don't want a Kana. That's why I'm asking you. I got a blind spot. You realize if I Kana, that's too late, right? So, Bloom Kana. Sometimes there's things in your life you can't see. I need people to be honest with me. You need people to be honest with you. I have blind spots. There's sometimes something I can't see. Proverbs 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You need people, you need someone that can be honest with you. It still hurts. How many of you know honesty, even from a friend, hurts, but it helps? You realize this is someone that's for me. This is someone that has my best at heart. We had something we talked about in staff meeting recently. We had to have some honesty. It was just a small issue, but we just had to talk about it. It was a little tense and uncomfortable at first, but all of us were better afterwards. It helped every single one of us. Make sure it's a friend you're being honest with. If you're just honest with strangers, that's rude, right? Make sure it's a friend. Make sure you share it with the balance of grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Truth with love is how we're taught to share things. If you can't balance truth with love, sometimes it's better to yourself, because it's not going to be received anyway. It's a little tip there. In my own life, I would have made the worst decision ever if I didn't have some people that could help me see. As a new Christian, I've shared with you before, Carrie and I almost got a divorce. We were seeing lawyers signing the papers ready to end it 8 months into our marriage. If I didn't have someone in my life, I had in my life that I trusted at that time. I didn't see the blind spots, but those two guys, I had someone to say, hey, God can fix this. Most of the people in my life were not those I'm talking about. No, it's over, dude. Get a divorce. Even to for counsel, hey, what can this be fixed? No. But these two guys, the two right people to have with me, they're like, God can fix this. One of them just said, hey, God hates divorce. Work. I had someone to help me see the blind spots. I would have made the worst mistake of my life. I wouldn't be married to Carrie. I mean, we have kids that we had after that situation. They wouldn't exist. Nemo wouldn't exist. Isaiah wouldn't exist. Gabriel, I wouldn't be here. You know, think of that. The things, some of you may be like me, that there's other bad decisions I did make because I didn't have someone there that had my blind spots. I was perceptually, there was no one there to say, hey, look out. Don't make that turn. We need someone to help us with the blind spots. Even pastoring this church, as we started developing more structure, I asked four men that are pastors that I trust, that I've known for a long time. I said, hey, would you guys be overseers of IC Maidan? Will you guys just, I'm going to come to you for help. Give me advice. Be there in case, you know, one of the reasons was, hey, if I ever go crazy, the staff and leaders have someone they can contact. That's good to know, right? I told them, hey, if I go crazy or something, call one of these four guys. One of them is Pastor Frankie Powell. Some of you met him when he came and spoke of, I guess maybe it's 2 years ago now. He's coming back in August. I've known him for 16 years. A friend, a mentor. He's pastored way longer than I have. So I said, hey, will you oversee? Will you help keep me in check? I have blind spots. I need accountability. Pastor Jeff Hartensfeld, who came a few months ago, my mentor, longtime friend, the founder of Abaya. I've known him for 15 years. I said, hey, Jeff, would you be one of these guys? I'm going to stay in touch with you, and you help me see my blind spots. You help hold me accountable. Pastor John Taylor, friends in the world. I've known him for 15 years, 14 years, something like that. We served in Malang together back in 2004. He currently pastors ICA Surabaya. He's one of these overseers. Pastor Dave Kent, he pastors IES Jakarta. A good friend. I've known him for at least over 10 years. These are four guys I say, hey, I have blind spots. I need, why would you, if you're the lead pastor, why would you put people above you? See everything. I can't walk alone. I have somewhere I want to go, and I need some people in my life that will help me take the church where we need to go. I have a vision, I have a purpose, and I need some good, solid to help me reach it. And you need that too. We need people. I need people. And you need people. Could I ask the worship team to come up? The fourth part of you, this is my most favorite part. This is the most exciting part. The potential you. The potential me. Every single one of you is a potential you. But you could say that. Think about yourself right now. Wherever you are right now, however long you've been following God, whatever you have done in your life, right now, sitting in your seat, you can say, there is a potential me. That's the me that I don't know and you don't know. Only God knows. Because every single person in here, God has placed potential inside of you. You're going somewhere. You have a purpose. You're leaning. You're on the earth for a reason. There is a potential you inside. But you can never reach your potential without other people, without the right people. You need to find them. If sign up for Life Group and surround yourself with some people that you can open up with, some people you can take the mask off with. Maybe some people in your life right now that you're thinking about, man, I just need to get two solid guys around me. I'm struggling with the same things. I'm going to get two men. I'm going to meet with them every week and say, hey, I've got potential. Will you help me reach it? And I'll help you reach yours. We need each other. We need people. This need people who will grow me. You need people who will grow you, who will help you get where you need to go. Would you stand with me, please? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron so one man sharpens another. He placed a potential inside of you. In Life Group, man, when I felt called to go minister overseas, it was first going to my pastor. He invited a group, and I said, man, I feel like there's this thing God put inside of me. He encouraged me. He said, I'll pray for you. I can see you doing that. He said, I can see that inside of you. Let's do reach it. I couldn't have gotten there. I wouldn't have gone any further without him. The small group I was a part of, I remember Carrie and I sitting there sharing, hey, we're going to go to Indonesia. No one was like, man, you're crazy. No one was like, you know, why would you leave family and friends? Why? They were like, you can do it. We'll encourage you. You have potential. We're going to help you reach it. Every single one of you have potential. Would you close your eyes with me, please? I just want to pray over you. Father, to look out into this room of people, friends, and see people with potential, people with purpose, people that need each other and need other people, who are needed by others. Lord, I pray that your words today would stick with us, that no one would leave this place today anonymously, that we would make the effort. Man, I don't know anyone. I need a friend. Introduce one. Find someone. Maybe the people at the VIP counter, like, hey, this is my first time here, but I need someone. I want to get connected. Father, don't let us continue to live this life alone. God forbid we would be like the example that Solomon shared. The man all alone, no one to care for, no one to care for him. Working hard and keep striving and struggling, toiling and facing troubles. And everything that he did and everything he accumulated was meaningless and unsatisfying. Father, help us to find the people our potential. If you're here this morning and you just want to say, man, I need people in my life, would you raise your hand? If you need someone to take the mask off with, will you just raise your hand? Father, you see the hands that are raised. I know that you are powerful enough to draw the right people around my friends. Lord, as they're courageous enough to say, hey, I can't walk this life alone, and I wasn't meant to, draw someone near them, Lord God. Help them, that tight group. They may have a name in their head right now, and I need to ask that person to be accountable. So I have someone. I need to meet with that person and share what's going on in my life. I can't carry this. I need to be revived. I need a breath of fresh air. Give me that friend, Lord, like Onesiphorus. Give us friends like Onesiphorus, Lord. Father, I pray your blessings over everyone here today. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I hope everyone was encouraged today. Man, I would love you all to groups, but if you're not ready for that step, make a group yourself. I don't care how you do it. Just get together with some people so you can be free, so you can reach your potential. I'm excited about what God has for you. New announcements, life group starts the week of February 5th. So we're getting all the leaders prepped and ready this week, all the information. Next Sunday, you can sign up. The 21 days of prayer and fasting ends today, as you know. And so no more prayer times. We'll shift into life groups. So that is sad because that has been awesome. Then we ask for Valentine's. Tim and Kelly Pollock, they'll be here all four services, February 11th, sharing their love story. If you remember last Valentine's Day, Carrie and I shared our love story. So I asked, hey, would you come and share your love story? They're newlyweds, and Kelly is expecting a baby very, very soon. So I hope she comes here and speaks and then gets back to Surabaya before she has the baby. That's what I'm praying for. They staff at ICA Surabaya. Kelly is actually the daughter of my mentor, Jeff Hartensfeld, that came a few months ago. So it will be exciting to have her here. Let me read just a few scriptures over you before we leave. Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spirituals with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I love you guys. God bless you this week. Go out and preach. Amen. See you next Sunday.